music, news, entertainment. It's all right here. It's the Kelly Alexander Show.
We're ready to rock this week with Canadian singer-songwriter Andrew Allen, who's written songs with the likes of Meghan Trainor, Rachel Platten, Cody Simpson, and Carly Rae Jepsen. Andrew's had his own success with his track What You Wanted, and he's here to talk about his music and career. Up next is Toronto artist Alex Valiz, who's riding the wave with his song Dancing Kizomba. We wrap things up with jazz musician Lisa Simone, daughter of the legendary Nina Simone. Lisa talks about her new album, My World, and what it was like to be on Broadway.
We are so happy to welcome to the Kelly Alexander Show one Mr. Andrew Allen. Hello.
Hey. How are you?
I'm great, and I'm so happy to have you on the show. I've been wanting to have you on for a while. I love the song.
Thank you.
Obviously, you've been out for a while before this. Mm-hmm. Many other tunes to talk about, but for this track, What You Wanted, how did it come about? Was it like written in 10 minutes, or was that like a 3-day extravaganza?
No, this one was, it's a weird one for me because this song I actually wrote like 6 years ago.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And it was going to be the follow-up single to one of my other songs called Loving You Tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And it ended up being held by a bunch of different artists, which I can tell you about later.
Okay.
But the inspiration for the song, I was in the UK mm-hmm. and I had met this really great couple. I'd come back to Canada and I ended up getting an email from the gentleman. And he was like, hey man, like I was wondering if you could help me out. My girlfriend just broke up with me. If you could make like a mix CD with some of your love songs on it and send it to her, she might take me back. And I was like, it's not going to work, but sure, I'll try. So I started making this mix CD, but then 3 days later, she emailed me and mm-hmm. was like, hey, Andrew, I was wondering if you would consider playing at my wedding because I just got engaged to somebody else. And I was like, what the heck? So I ended up writing the song with that in mind, thinking from his perspective, looking at her, saying, is this really what you wanted?
Mm-hmm.
And because it should have been you and me. It shouldn't have been you and this other guy.
Yeah.
And
wow.
So that's where the inspiration for the song came from.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
Now, who else was the song going to go to then if you've said you've had it for 6 years?
Yeah. So when I was about to release it, Adam Levine piped in and said,
wow.
You know what? I want this song. And so they held it for about 2 months.
Okay.
And then finally, when they decided to go a different direction, the song came back. I thought, great, I'm going to release this song. But then Jesse McCartney came onto the table and decided, hey, I want this song. So I flew to LA and I went into the studio and worked with him on it. It sounded great when he did it, but he ended up giving it back. And then finally, Cody Simpson came on board and we went into the Atlantic Record Studios and recorded a couple versions with him. And I thought it sounded great too, but he released a different song. And then when it was about time to release mine, there were some funny things with the label and it ended up coming back to me. And so I was like, I think that this is saying
the universe.
Something. Yeah. It's like, this is your song. You wrote it about people you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you should probably release it.
No, I feel like this song is going to be with you for life. Like it's going to be one of those ones where, that's your song. Will you be fine singing this till you're 85?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. I think about that. I actually do. Cause there are artists, right. That are like I think Bobby McFerrin's like, no, I will not sing.
Be happy.
Yeah. No, I don't want it. That's not how I'm identified. Like, no, it is how you're identified.
Yeah. Big
so
big time.
For me, I kind of think I'd be fine with this. Yeah. It's not like some crazy rangy song either that I'm like, I'm going to lose my voice every time I sing it.
Wow.
It's a song. Yeah. I like it.
Now, did you know when you, I know, like you said, you've had it around for a while, but did you know right away that it was catchy? Cause I'm always interested to know if the artist knew like this could go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. The second that I co-wrote it with my producer, Ryan Stewart, and we finished the song. Yeah. The first version, we didn't, there was one line that was really silly and we're like, that could be really cool or it could be really dumb. And I played it for some people and they all confirmed it was really dumb. So we changed that line. but once we changed the line, we're like, this is a song. Like this is going to be a good one.
Now talk to us about, you know, you mentioned Adam Levine and Cody Simpson and Jesse McCartney. What's it like to write songs for other people? Like, is it, cause I almost feel like it's giving up a child.
Yeah. I think it, wow.
Well, maybe that's a lot, but like, that's pretty, don't tell my sister and brother. Who have children.
I was like, this is, I don't know, it's the same. You know, I think if you're writing specifically for that artist in mind, then I don't find it as difficult to give up a song. Or for me, I've written a few songs that I was like, oh my gosh, I love this song, but I don't think that there's an avenue through my channel that this will ever come out.
Okay.
But I think that it says something that's important.
Okay.
And I would love for somebody else to sing it. And for me, like when I hear some of my songs sung by other people, I'm like, that's really, really cool.
Awesome.
I have a couple of them in different languages.
That
it's kind of bizarre to me because I hope it's still saying the same thing, but I really don't know. Like one of them is with this artist named Marco Mangoni in Italy.
Okay.
And the song has gone double platinum.
Wow.
And I don't know what it says. Wow. It's like my biggest song to date. And I'm like, I hope it says the same thing.
No curse words.
No, exactly. But, you know, Loving You Tonight back in the day was requested by another artist. And okay. I turned it down because I said, no, this is my song. Mm-hmm. This is about me and my life. And I kind of want to keep it.
And it's important for you now, Andrew, because, like, if I can use Ryan Tedder as an example.
Yeah. Dude's a monster.
Yeah, he's a monster. And it was funny because, like, I think for so many people, they had no clue that he was a songwriter, only right. when he came out with One Republic, and now we know both sides of him. Yeah. Do you kind of feel like that's where you want to be headed? Like, you're already doing it, but, like, do you feel like now's your time as an artist in a way?
Yeah, I think for me, it's like, you know, sometimes people will say, do you prefer writing or do you prefer performing? And mm-hmm. for me, it's performing. It's okay. like, I do enjoy writing, but I feel like writing is a means to the stage. Mm-hmm. And it's not because I'm like, oh, I have to be like instantly gratified by everybody and them going like, you're amazing. But for me, a lot of it is the connection to not just the audience, because it's like, I don't want to just be generally known by people. It's like, most of the people that have followed me as fans have become friends because it's this connection where it's like, oh, there's something that I said in my music mm-hmm. that was sort of like a Hallmark card to you mm-hmm. and their words maybe you couldn't express, but then now you can.
Yeah.
And I want to connect to that person on more than just a, cool, you saw me, I'm never going to talk to you again. Mm-hmm. It's more like, no, I want to know you. Like, tell me about your life. And so that's why I love performing. Mm-hmm. But on the songwriting side, like I said, if I can write words that matter, but they don't necessarily need to come from me, mm-hmm. then I was talking about Ryan Tedder today, actually, and just thinking like, man, that dude's got it made. Like, he's like kicking butt with these songs that are coming out with like Ellie Goulding and everybody. Mm-hmm. And then he's also writing his own. He's in a super cool band. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm like, that is kind of the
dream.
It's
ridiculous.
Yeah.
Now, apart from your family and friends, or close friends, I should say, who's the coolest person in your phone?
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. The coolest person on my phone?
Yeah.
Right now, and I think Rachel Platten is the
That's
coolest person.
That's pretty cool.
Phone. And I'll tell you why. Like, Rachel and I are friends from LA.
Okay.
And she was like, she was working super hard, and like, mm-hmm. I just admired her for that. But she was recently in Vancouver, mm-hmm. and I just wrote her and was like, I would love to get together and just like hang out. And she's like, no, are you kidding me? Like, I'm going to give you tickets and like come to the show. And like, and I'm like, you're so cool.
Oh, wow.
Like, for doing that. That's amazing.
That's awesome.
And because that's not why I was writing her. I was just writing her to like grab lunch, mm-hmm. you know? And there's been a few other artists that I've worked with that when they hit a certain point, they're just like, yeah, sorry, I'm not even going to reply to that text. Yeah. And you're like, oh man, I'm not the guy that's trying to get rich off you.
Yeah.
Because what would you do for me? You know what I mean? Like,
just free concert tickets.
Exactly. Like, I just want to hang out. Like, we were friends then. Why? Yeah. We should probably still be friends.
Wow.
So yeah, I'd say she's probably the coolest
I wanted
one.
To ask you about the Canadian music scene. How do you feel about what's going on? Because like, we have some killer people that are, and I don't mean just the Justin Biebers and the Weeknds of the world, but like the Alessia Caras who are coming up. You know, Serena Ryder has been doing amazing. I know new stuff's coming. Tegan and Sarah is just about to come out with more stuff. Like the Marianas Trenches of the world. Like, how do you feel about the scene? Because I feel like in the last two or three, well, maybe 5 years, we've really gone up a level.
Yeah, I feel like there was sort of a minute there where a lot of the Canadian music just sort of seemed like it was American music, but softer.
Yeah.
And now I feel like production elements, especially like, I can't remember what the song was I was listening to, but it was like a producer here in Montreal.
Okay.
That was like, it was just amazing. Like the stuff, the sounds that are coming out. And I think for me, I'm super proud of the scene in Canada right now. I hope that the listener in Canada really sees what's going on and they start to go, I like that, and I'm gonna claim that right now instead of waiting until America claims it and then says, oh, now you should like your own artist. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Yep, yep.
And but I feel like that's happening because I feel like, you know, there's all these artists that people are going, oh, I like that, and they're like, wait a minute, they're Canadian. I had
Isn't
no
it crazy?
Idea. Yeah, and it's so crazy. It's exciting. It's an exciting time.
Now, I wanted to ask you if you could go to dinner with anyone that's in the music scene. Mm-hmm. I'll even give you dead or alive to pick their brain. Who would it be and why?
John Mayer.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, without a doubt. I think that dude is a friggin' genius.
Really?
Yeah. There's something about him, like, the whole, like, you know, I'm going to put out Your Body is a Wonderland, which is, like, three chords and super cute.
Yeah.
And then he goes on to become, like, one of the greatest guitar players in the world. And he already was. He was just kind of like, well, I know how to play the game, so I can get my name out there, and then I can go on and blow everybody's mind. And then he turned into, like, a sort of a super jerk for a minute. You know what I mean?
Jennifer Aniston's not calling him back.
Yeah. No, I don't think so. But then comes out of that and kind of goes, oh, you know what? That was kind of dumb of me. I'm going to move out to, like, the prairies and, like, buy a dog and a poncho. and kind of figure myself out, and everybody's gonna see this.
That's true.
And then he kind of comes back into the scene, and now he's like doing like with the Grateful Dead. He's like about to hit the road with them, or he already is. And
it's crazy.
I don't know. There's something really cool about him, and I don't think he'd like me, but I think that
I think he'd like you just fine.
I don't know. I feel like maybe.
You think he's a loner? I don't know. Maybe
a little bit. I think, and I think he's like he might be just too like in his own head.
Too heady.
Yeah. But I would still love to pick his brain. I could just sit there and like. Tell me stuff, like, you know, like just talk at me
over some nachos.
Yeah, right.
Now before I let you go, I wanted to ask you about your fans, you know, because I know you're from out west, and obviously you're here in Montreal right now, and my show is global, which we appreciate. But do you notice a difference as you cross the country, like different, like are we different vibes whether you're in Montreal or Toronto and Vancouver?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. Yeah. It's hard for me to say because I have spent more time out west.
Yep.
Just being there, and you know, there's a big section of country in between that's sort of hard to cross sometimes.
The prairies, too long.
Yeah, winter, kind of challenging. So I think for me, it's like one thing I love is that I have spent so much time in the west, and so I've built up a good group of people that will definitely support me. Mm-hmm. It's taken a while. Whereas coming out east, I will say that it feels to me like people here, they will grab music faster.
Right.
So they hear something they like and they go, I like that.
Cool.
You know, I don't need to be told. And and people are a little more urgent out here. And so people are like, let's get this done. Like, let's be part of this.
It's true.
And years back, you know, I played in Montreal. It was just out of Montreal, actually. And I came back to the hotel. The hotel had caught on fire.
Oh, my goodness.
And everybody had been evacuated to the restaurant. And so me and my band were like, well, there's more people in this restaurant right now than there was at the show. So we just set up and played till like 2 o'clock in the morning. And it seemed that people were super, super receptive.
Yeah.
And like, I love the folks out west, but I kind of almost feel like they might be like, can we just like be quieter?
Have nachos.
Yeah. You know, like we just want to, let's just be like, let's just be calm together. You know what I mean? Like they're just a little calmer, and I love that too, but it's, that would be my evaluation.
Very
of the two
nice.
Sides.
And last question, I want to know, what does Andrew Allen dream about in the next 12 months to 18 months? Where do you see yourself career wise?
Yeah. I hope What You Wanted blows up.
Okay.
And my goal, I mean, you know, there's lots of people that are like, I want to do stadiums. I want to do this. I mean, my favorite is like soft seat theaters.
Okay, that's
I love them. I would rather do like multiple nights in the same theater because I love telling stories about the songs and I love, like I said, connecting with the audience. I mean, I wouldn't, if somebody's like, hey, you're going on a stadium tour, I'd be like, that sounds cool. But yeah, I would love to see in the next 12 months, I would love to see the song blow up enough that it increases the platform and gives me the opportunity to continue making the music that I want to make.
Awesome. Andrew Allen, make sure you check out his latest track, What You Wanted, hanging out with us here on The Kelly Alexander Show.
Is this what you wanted? Is this what you needed me to be? I heard that he's perfect, but he isn't me. You left in December without saying should have been you and me. I could have been all you need. We could have got older and older. Why can't you see? We should have had all our dreams. You could have had everything that you wanted. Is this really what you wanted? Now it's September. The radio is playing our song. It should have been you and me.
We could have got older and older. Why can't you see? We should have had all our dreams. You could have had everything that you wanted. Is this yeah, it should have been you and me. I could have been all you need. We could have got older and older. Why can't you see? We should have had all our dreams.
It's the Kelly Alexander Show. Follow us on Instagram, Kelly Alexander Show.
We are very excited to welcome Toronto-based artist Alex Valise to the Kelly Alexander Show. Hello, Alex.
Hey, hey, how's it going?
I am so great, and we're so grateful to have you on the show. Big fans of your new song, Dancing Kizomba. And can you let us know, I read that you are a hopeless romantic. And so with regards to that song, did that sort of stem from you being a romantic fella?
Well, yeah, I think most of my music, like the EP that I just took out, is called Love Has No Language. Because I feel that love is something that everybody around the world can identify themselves with. So me as an artist, I always like to make music that speaks on, you know, the different seasons of love, whether it be heartbreak, whether it be falling in love at first sight, whatever mm-hmm. it may be. I always like speaking to those emotions and to those seasons. So Dancing Kizomba is no exception to that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I basically just wanted to tell the story of seeing how Kizomba is very driven by its dance. I wanted to incorporate, you know, a love story with that dance itself.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, hopefully wanting people to identify themselves with that story. So it doesn't necessarily have to be my personal story, but as long as people can identify themselves with it, my job is done, right?
Fantastic. Now, it sounds like you have a special lady in your life, your wife. Do you write a lot of songs with her in mind?
Yeah. Like I said, I think I write based on my personal experiences, or as well if there's experiences of my friends that, you know, that really hit home with me.
Mm-hmm.
I'll write on their experiences with their permission, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And but yeah, a lot of them are inspired by my wife, and as well as past experiences and, you know, hopes of the future.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, whatever it comes down to, I think I always strive on love, because love, like I said, it has no language.
Now, I wanted to ask you with regards to your music itself. Obviously, love is very much mm-hmm. an influence. But where else do you get inspired? Like, is it from your hometown of Toronto? Or yeah. is it like other places or just experiences that you go through?
I think it comes from every area. You know, growing up in Toronto, it's very multicultural, as Montreal is.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, growing up in Toronto, you have, you know, I grew up with Indian friends, I grew up with African friends, you know, and Asian friends. So in my music, you're going to hear an Indian sitar in my music, you're going to hear African drums in mm-hmm. my music, you're going to hear Latin vibes. So I think that's heavily influenced in my music. And as well, I think growing up, like I said, at the age of 12, I was already leading my local church band. And you learn to connect with a person spiritually in that atmosphere. So I think I bring a lot of that into my music as well. You know, not only making music just for the sake of making music, but making music that people can identify themselves and maybe give them some hope through the music. So I think that is an influence as well. So there's various parts of my life, but I think every part has some sort of influence in it.
If you could switch places with any sort of top 40 artist right now, just for one day, who would it be and why?
I think if I could, I think I would switch with Bruno Mars.
I knew you were going to say that. I had a feeling. I did. That's awesome.
Yeah, and the reason why is because, first of all, I love his music,
mm-hmm.
right? His lyrics, his inspiration. And I love his band. His band's amazing. Mm-hmm. I would love to perform with his band. His band is top line. So that would be one artist that I would.
That's awesome. Now, with regards to being a Canadian artist, and I know you have an international flair, is it important for you to sort of have success in the States? You know, especially we've had so many Canadians as of late doing mm-hmm. very well. Bieber's of the world, the Drake's yeah. of the world, Magic doing well.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts on that? Do you really want to have that success down south?
Oh yeah, I think that's every Canadian artist's dream, right? Canada is always home base, you know, the States is a dream that every artist has to you know, look forward to, and for me, it's we've been working on that. I think my The fact that I do every song in English and in Spanish has helped me out a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, the EP is in English and Spanish, so it's helped me out in Latin America. I just came from Spain, and it's been huge over there, and mm-hmm. you know, I thank them for that. So we've been looking forward to that, and the States is no exception. You know, we plan to hit the States the same way we've hit Canada. Mm-hmm. But like I said, Canada will always be hometown, so it's always the number one driver.
Coming from Toronto, obviously so many amazing acts have come out of there, mm-hmm. as is across the country, but obviously yeah. a lot of people come out of Toronto, even if they're sort of like have moved there
yeah.
to mm-hmm. do well. Are you like buddies with like, you know, all of these Toronto-based artists, like the ones who are kind of doing well? Because it just seems like everybody seems to know each other. It seems like it's a very yeah. small industry.
Well, you know, the funny thing about me is I've always been a lone fox.
Like, okay.
I've always written for artists, mm-hmm. You know, but I've never... I guess like in the Anglo part, mm-hmm. I've never really met that many artists because I've always been like the lone fox. I've always been in the studio
yep.
hiding, you know, just thinking of a master plan. So
nice.
So I've always been there in the Latin market. Yeah, because the Latin community is very close, I guess you could say, in Toronto as well, in Montreal. Mm-hmm. So I'm pretty sure I know almost every Latin artist here in Toronto and Montreal. But in the Anglo side, we have met a lot. Like recently, I've met a lot of artists, and we're keeping that relationship, and mm-hmm. we're doing a lot of collaborations.
Okay.
But in the past, not so much.
Okay. Now, with regards to industry accolades, like the Juno Awards for Canada, obviously a big thing. I know you're presenting at the MMVAs in June. Is it important for you to get respect from your peers as well? Because it's funny, like Justin Bieber just put out that Instagram post not long ago saying that he actually feels very empty when he's at award shows, and sort of that it's not like real, quote unquote, kind of thing. How do you feel about those types of events and sort of performing while your music colleagues, if I can call them that, are in the audience?
Yeah, I think it comes down to I can only speak for myself. For me, it comes down to if you know that you're making music that's timeless, mm-hmm. that you know that will stand the test of time. Basically, mm-hmm. I think it comes down to who you are. I personally don't need recognition, you know, in order for me to feel validated.
Yeah.
Because I feel that my music will be timeless. You know, mm-hmm. I feel that my music will stand the test of time. But it's always nice to have, you know, people around you understanding your music and appreciating your art. For me, I've always been driven to be an artist's artist, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously I want the fans to appreciate and everything, but I also want, you know, my colleagues, like you said, I want to be one of those artists that my colleagues actually love their music the mm-hmm. same way I love Bruno Mars's music, you know.
Nice.
I believe I not only do music for the fans, but I also make music for artists as well.
That's amazing. And before I let you go, what is going to be up next for you? I know the EP is out. Is a full album on the way?
Yes, the full album will be out hopefully before the end of this year, October or November.
Mm-hmm.
And the EP, and we got a couple tour dates lined up, and we're just going to be traveling the world.
Awesome. Alex, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. That is Universal Music artist Alex Feliz, who comes from Toronto. And Alex, give out your website. Where can people find you, or your Facebook page?
Yeah, you can find me on www.alxveliz.com, or all my social media is Alex Veliz Music.
Perfect. Thank you so much. That is, again, Alex Veliz, right here on The Kelly Alexander Show.
Starts with a standing in the spotlight. I never knew that I could fall in love at first sight. I took a hand and led her to that dance floor. After one dance, we couldn't let each other go.
Listen anytime, any place. KellyAlexanderShow.com.
We're so looking forward to chatting with our next guest. Lisa Simone is not only a talented jazz musician, but also someone who has had success on Broadway in productions like Rent and The Lion King. She's just released her new album, My World, and is here to let us know all about it. Lisa, welcome to the Kelly Alexander Show.
Thank you. It's good to be here. And I just have one small correction. It's actually Rent and Aida.
Oh, well, someone had it wrong then on the notes I was given, so I'm sorry about that. So thank you.
Okay, it's not a big deal.
Thank you for clarifying that. I did want to start off by asking, you know, music obviously in your blood. Your mother is the incomparable Nina Simone. So how did you actually decide to enter the armed forces instead of choosing a musical path from the get-go?
The adults in my life at the time were not too thrilled about me getting into the entertainment industry, and they really encouraged me to go in a different direction. And so I attempted to do that. I wanted to go to college. College plans kind of fell through at the last minute. And as youth are wont to do, I was ready to get out on my own. And the United States Air Force somehow became an option, which I was desperate enough to take. And it was a decision that lasted almost 11 years of my life.
Wow. And what do you take away from that experience in the armed forces with regards to your music career? Because I'm assuming the discipline helps quite a bit.
Well, I mean, you know, when you're 18 and you're leaving the house, you're making that transition into adulthood, it can be full of bumps as you find your way. And I can say that there were many things that I learned in the military. First of all, if I don't want to sing anymore, at least I'll be able to eat because I know how to do construction and everything else associated with that. But more importantly for me, in terms of my heart, it was the path that led me back to who I truly am, which is why we're speaking right now.
So can you talk to us about when you made that decision to sort of head back to music and why you then decided to sort of change your birth name and go to Lisa Simone as your stage name?
It all happened actually in the same period of time. I was active duty in Frankfurt, Germany at Rhein-Main Air Base. And I realized that I really didn't like my job and I couldn't imagine doing something I didn't like for another 20 years. And I had a glass of red wine at a bistro one night. I was into bodybuilding and heavy into physical fitness, so I didn't drink wine at all, and so that was a really big deal. And there was a gentleman playing the piano in the bistro, and the way that the mannerisms that he had reminded me very much of my days in church when I sang in church, and I was inspired to sing with him. To this day, I don't recall what song that was, but clearly my friend who I was with, she was so impressed. She owned her own hair salon, and I started getting phone calls from people within a few weeks asking me if I wanted to be a background singer with them, and they told me she was just telling everyone about my voice. So I thought, well, why not? You know, it's fun. I do it well. Let's see where it takes me. And musicians started to ask me eventually if I wanted to go out and do some different things, and one day it just hit me, maybe I should consider this as an option in my life. And for someone who just sung in the shower, basically, and around the house or in church, I'd never really considered it because, as I said earlier, the adults in my life discouraged me to do that. Mm-hmm. It was also at that time when I really definitively made the decision to try my hand at this, that I wanted to honor my mother and honor the name that she had built up for so many years. And so I decided to drop my given middle name of Celeste and replace that with Simone. So I've been Lisa Simone for about 30 years now, well before my mom died. And now that I'm just Lisa Simone, without my married name, in terms of my professional career, Lisa is not a name that I used for many years as well. There are a lot of Lisas. A lot of Lisas were born in the 60s and 70s. So in many casts that I was in, there were a lot of Lisas. So I remember the director of Jesus Christ Superstar, which is the first theatrical piece I ever did. He said, why don't we just call you Simone?
Nice.
And that was in 1992. And that stuck until 2014.
That's fantastic. It's so great to sort of know that story and that history. And I know I wanted to ask you as well about your success on Broadway and in the fact that you also walked away with a National Broadway Theater Award for Best Actress in a Musical. When you think of your time on stage in that regard and the success that you've had, what are some of your fondest memories of being on stage?
Oh, wow. I guess just discovering, because there's a lot of fear involved. I'd never done theater before. I'd never been to school for it in any way. So when I first started, I had no idea what stage left or stage right was. And you have to learn fast when you're surrounded by so many theatrical thespians and divas. And once you get over the fear of having to incorporate lyrics, blocking, staging, wardrobe changes that might... You might be learning, for example, I had to learn the role of Aida in 21 days. And on the 22nd day, I went on stage. And I can tell you, I burst into tears when I talked to my husband and said I was going on stage because I was scared to death. Mm-hmm. But once you do it and you're able to begin living the role, there comes a sense of connection that you could never imagine that you would have with a character. It never gets old. And... my cast members, traveling with so many people, discovering new places together and connecting in the same story, sometimes up to twice a day. It's just really a very special and sacred relationship that you're able to enjoy and continue to build upon after you've gotten over all your fear and all of the basics that you have to incorporate into your performance in order for it to live properly the way that the director and all of the other creative team members have envisioned.
Joining us on the show is musician and entertainer Lisa Simone. Make sure to check out her website, lisasimonemusic.com. When did it come about that you made the decision to leave Broadway and then, you know, turn your career back to sort of to jazz music?
Well, to be honest with you, a lot of my cast members remember me saying often, I just want to sing. I don't want to be an actress. I didn't ask for all this extra stuff, you know. But clearly, looking back, I really equate that to my basic training to be an entertainer. If you can do theater, you can do anything. And that's a fact. I think theatrical people are perhaps some of the hardest working people in the industry. And what other part was your question?
Just that again. Making the decision to head towards being, you know, a jazz artist and moving away from on stage.
Yeah. That's what it was. So the dream in my heart never left. Many people had to remind me when I would kind of poo-poo the fact that I was on Broadway. I'm like, look, I'm trying to get my recording career together. I want to do my live show. And my husband, being one of them, would be like, honey, you're living what many people's dreams are right now. You're on Broadway. And I really had to remind myself to be grateful of where I was in my career. But that light in my heart to do what I'm doing now never went out. And I remember when we just decided to do my big band album tribute to my mother in 2008, we just stopped waiting on record labels to get it or to be noticed by the powers that be within the industry and to do it ourselves. And it was really a wonderful thing to do. It was a wonderful experience. But the biggest turn in my career, I think, in terms of my music, my artistry, my own personal addition to the legacy my mother began, actually started here in France when my husband and daughter and I came here with two suitcases and a dream in September 2013. And my first original album, All Is Well, was released in October 2014. That's when the rocket really took off, and I'm so glad that we decided to come here.
I wanted to actually ask you about France. Like, obviously, it's had such an impact on you and your music. Do you think you'll stay there for a really long time? Do you think you'll ever come back to the U.S.?
Good question. Well, you know, the legacy continues, I'm finding, in many ways, in the decisions that my mom made for her own reasons in her life. Find myself paralleling many of them, and one of them is indeed the fact that I'm here in France to stay. I'm an American citizen. I serve my country. I'll always come back to America. I have family there. A lot of wonderful memories are there, but in terms of my career and my identity as Lisa Simone, daughter of writer, actress, artist, performer. That's here in France. And there's a huge world out there outside of the United States. I tried for 20 years in America because of my age and God knows what else. I wasn't taken seriously, and I found there to be a lot of rejection, and to the point where I almost decided not to do this for a living anymore until my husband encouraged me to keep hope alive. And when we came here to France, you know, that hope was realized. So if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Got it.
And it's working here.
Awesome.
So this is where I'm going to be for a long time.
Talk to us about My World. You know, it's funny. So many artists, when you know the press interviews them, it's always like, oh, this is a very personal album, blah blah blah. But it really sounds like this album is really personal for you, Lisa.
It is really personal. But I mean, when I prayed for God to help me to realize my dream of being an entertainer, my prayer went as follows: God, please help me to inspire love and positivity in others from the stage through the example of my own life. And I didn't really realize what a mouthful that was, because it took 20 years for me to get to the point where I'm being seen and heard and my songs are living and resonating with others. Life is my wellspring of inspiration, and we all have so much that unites us in terms of our hopes, our dreams. We're all born, we're all going to die, and so forth and so on. And I choose to share a lot of the lessons and experiences that I've had in my life through my music, because I'm sure that there's at least one or two people in the audience who will be touched by the lyrics and by the delivery and by the fellowshipping, if you will, knowing that there's a connection and that they're not alone. And that's really important a lot of times when we're going through so much in our lives in this chaotic world right now.
I was checking out your website and noticed that you have a bunch of dates coming up of performances, including here in my hometown of Montreal. I wanted to ask you, what's your favorite thing about touring and actually being on stage in this regard as opposed to being, you know, in a musical?
Oh, the first thing I do is shatter the fourth wall.
Okay.
We're all in this together. Those of us on stage and those of us in the audience, we're all part of the show. And, you know, when you're doing theater, it's a story. You're supposed to act like no one else is there. And so, you know, what if you get the hiccups or something or you know, any number of things. So, on stage, it is a sacred relationship. I have a sacred relationship to the stage itself. Nothing else exists when I walk onto the stage, no matter what's going on in my life. And for the 90 minutes that, from the first minute time I open my mouth to sing a note to the end of the evening, it's just about the music, the message, and the relationship between myself and the audience, and the symbiosis that eventually always takes place. And I hope the same thing will happen in Montreal. And there's nothing quite like it. I can say that my soul opens, something bigger than me happens, and I do my best to stay connected to what's taking place within me versus the natural tendency to want to please your audience. For me, that's a trap. It's about sharing the beauty and majesty that arises within me with my listeners and connecting with them. And I can tell you with great joy that every place I've been so far, by the end of the night, everybody's laughing, dancing, feeling so uplifted, and we can't wait to do it again. That is what makes it all worthwhile.
Fantastic. Well, I really appreciate your time. It's been such an honor to speak with you, and we wish you all the best here in Montreal and, of course, with the rest of your performances, and you're welcome back on the show anytime, Lisa.
Thank you. I look forward to coming back.
That is jazz artist, entertainer Lisa Simone. Make sure to check out her website for more information and, of course, her tour dates at lisasimonemusic.com.
When I had my little girl, it changed my life overnight. Literally, she's my world. such an honor, and it feels so good just to love and be loved and return. Unconditionally, I'm learning. Unconditionally, to love. Unconditionally. When I think of this world, I know that it starts with a change of heart. Literally, our world needs us to make some different decisions to improve our living conditions. And I wonder, where are the others who feel the same as me? Yes, our great mother needs us to come together. Got to one another unconditionally. We got to come together unconditionally. Learn to love unconditionally. Each other. It's alright. It's this. Oh, we got to come together unconditionally.
The Kelly Alexander Show. Follow us on Twitter at @KAlexanderShow.
Welcome to the Love Zone. I'm Gina Lee, and today we're talking about a little green-eyed monster. You know the one. It's called jealousy. Have you ever been in a relationship with a jealous person? Or do you get jealous when you're in a relationship? Sometimes feelings of jealousy creep up on you out of nowhere. Maybe because your partner is still in touch with their ex, or when you're out in public, they get a lot of attention from potential competition, and it puts you on edge. Or maybe it's your partner that gets a bit antsy every time you talk to someone of the opposite sex or decide to have a night out with your friends. None of us are immune from the emotion of jealousy, but it's something that we should be vigilant in avoiding, as it can ruin a relationship very quickly if allowed to fester. The best way to get rid of jealousy is to get to the root of why you feel the way you do. What are the triggers? Identify and nullify them. Let's go back to the example of the ex. Say your partner still talks to their ex, and that makes you uncomfortable. You need to communicate that to them. Find a solution. If it's not possible for them to stop talking to their ex, say, because they have a child with them, then they need to be open with you about the nature of their contact. If you know exactly what they're talking about, speakerphone is great for this, then you don't have to entertain any jealous thoughts based on assumptions. I know of couples who give each other the passwords to their phone, email, Facebook, and Twitter accounts so that there is complete transparency between them. Not everyone would feel comfortable doing this, but it's an option in the quest to build trust. Trust. That's really the issue with jealousy, isn't it? Not trusting that your partner is truthful, faithful. Not trusting that you are worthy of being truthful and faithful too. Those who don't trust like to control. If I can't trust that you'll be faithful to me, then I'll make you be faithful. What manifests out of that is a paranoia that poisons. Here comes the constant phone calls and texts with the, where are you? Who are you with? Why didn't you call me back? Then it's the, were you looking at her? Were you looking at him? You're cheating on me, aren't you? Just admit it, I know you're lying. You won't look me in the eye. Yeah, not pretty. Don't feed the green-eyed monster. It will devour you eventually. However, when it starts to lash its tail, don't ignore it either. If you find yourself getting jealous often in your relationship, it could be because there is a reason to be suspicious. Or maybe there is something your partner is deliberately doing to put you in a position of insecurity. Some people like to use that emotion as a way of manipulation in order to keep a person attached to them. It's an unhealthy way to orchestrate a relationship, and it's bound to backfire eventually. When it comes to jealousy, you really have to look at everything with a clear vision and evaluate whether you're just being too paranoid or if there's a more sinister situation at play. Trust your instincts, and if you have level-headed friends, see if you can get an objective perspective. Again, let your partner know how you're feeling, because if someone loves you, they will do all they can to make sure you feel secure in that love. We all come with a history of past hurts, so what may seem innocent to them may be a red flag to you. So you have to find a common ground that you can both stand on. Jealousy is a seed that you don't want to water in a relationship. It'll become a weed that will choke the life out of anything you grow together. So the minute you see it sprout, pluck it out.
Can't come. It's the Kelly Alexander Show. Follow us on Instagram, Kelly Alexander Show.
Thank you so much for spending time with us on the show this week. As always, we appreciate it. And a big thank you going out to my guests, Andrew Allen, Alex Veliz, and Lisa Simone. Here is your inspirational quote of the week, this time coming from Charles Stanley. We can be tired, weary, and emotionally distraught. But after spending time alone with God, we find that He injects into our bodies energy, power, and strength. Please make sure to follow us on all of our social media. You can do so by checking out our website, kellyalexandershow.com, and of course, our YouTube channel, youtube.com/kellyalexandershow. Have a great week. You and I will chat soon.